You're listening to WMFO Medford. We are at 91.5 FM and WMFO.org web streaming. Don't forget, this is Donation Month at WMFO. Please donate. I am Mike Stewart.
I am Aaron.
And this is what's happening, and our guests are...
Cole Tyler Huttenrott.
And David Gambon.
Of...
Mud Fox Tribe.
Okay. Good to have you here.
Great here on WMFO Medford. Back with them in a moment.
Raise $5,000 to continue to keep your freeform station playing your favorite music. WMFO is a nonprofit station with staff, students, and community members who volunteer their time to bring you their favorite music and shows. We need your support to keep it all running, so donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check payable to trustees of Tufts College. Send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you for your support from all of us here at your Freeform Station, 91.5 WMFO.
Hi, this is Mud Fox Tribe with some numbers to think about.
Number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs. 54.
Meanwhile, the number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history is zero. Think about that. It's a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Well, thank you. We have Mud Fox Tribe in the studio. To my left is Aaron. I am Mike Stewart. We have
Cole Tyler Huttenrott
and Dave Gambon.
Nice to have you here.
Nice.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So let everybody know a little bit about each one of you. Growing up, what type of music did you listen to? Who were your influences? And
well, growing up, I mean, it was always a lot of the 60s. You know, obviously, Beatles, but, you know, a little bit of everything, and definitely branched out as I've gotten older, because there's so many bands now that are doing that 60s style, but they've given it kind of a modern vibe to it, you know, like Tame Impala.
Would that be inspired or retro?
I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to say, but that's definitely been a lot of my influence.
For me, I grew up with a father that was really into a lot of different types of music. So I did grow up with a lot of Beatles 60s music, as well as, you know, 70s and 60s soul and R&B. So a little bit of everything. And from there, I've just expanded into so much. I think right now our main influences would probably be Fleet Foxes, Tame Impala. Mm-hmm. You know, bands like Grizzly Bear, stuff like that. That's
so
kind of the sound we're going for. All those animals.
All the animals, yeah. Wait till you meet my co-host over at WMWM. He's big into the furry thing. Yeah, he is. He's a raccoon.
Oh, nice. All right. I haven't met any raccoons yet.
You will.
I'm a dust bunny.
We did wear animal masks in a video for our old project.
Ooh, there you go.
So, it's always been about animals. I don't know why.
What? Is that what the fox says? Sorry, but it's the band, right? You know, sort of.
Yeah. We should ask them, how did they come up with their name?
Yes, how did you come up with the name?
We're not going to ask you what the color, if you like the color blue or anything like that.
Okay.
No, it's more like you know, aqua and stuff.
Yeah. The name, we cannot take credit for the name at all. I'll put that out there.
No.
A girl I was dating named Rachel, one of her family members had posted a picture on Facebook of, you know, their kids had been out playing in the mud or something like, and the caption said, here they are, the Mud Fox Tribe.
Oh.
And at the time we were looking for a band name, and she sort of said, you know, Mud Fox Tribe, and it just clicked. It was perfect.
It's almost all like, you know, Buffalo Springfield. They saw the piece of construction equipment, and that was the name of the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the Beatles didn't do it that way.
No.
Not quite, no. Too bad they didn't, you know, they had roaches, you know, crawling on them.
Their story for their name was funny. They trying to come up with a name that meant two things because they thought the Crickets, who were Buddy Holly's backup band, they thought there was a pun, like Crickets, bug, and the game, the British game Cricket.
Yeah.
I guess one of them had talked to the Crickets, the band members, later on in life, and they had mentioned that, and they were like, oh, we never even knew about that. No, we just meant the Crickets, the animal. They had no idea.
Because if you saw the movie, the Buddy Holly story, with
the guy with the glasses.
Gary Busey.
Yes.
And while they were performing, and they were trying to get their music on, it wasn't cassette back then, it was reel to reel. And they kept hearing a cricket sound inside the walls. It was in the garage. So they took the insulation out and found crickets in there, and that's where the Crickets came from, Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
Interesting.
But, of course, the Beatles were the Quarrymen and then the Silver Beatles and then the Beatles, but they didn't want to spell it the way everybody else spells Beatles either.
Nope. That's where the two meanings comes in. Beat music when you read it, and creepy crawly bugs when you heard it.
And, as a matter of fact, some of their influences have recently passed away, too.
Yeah.
You know.
We're losing a lot of them.
But you also mentioned off the air that There is a help wanted sign behind you guys.
Right now, it's just me and Dave, or Dave and I, and we are looking for a drummer, guitarist,
keyboardist.
So, musicians, if you're out there listening,
all you Berklee students, is your opportunity.
And is there a genre they need to be up on, or they need to be open-minded for anything, or?
I mean, we really are into anything, you know. But
yeah, a lot of folk influence recently.
I'd say indie pop, indie folk. Probably a good way to describe this project.
And you have a video up, so they could probably check that out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A video for our new single, which is called She Slipped Away. It's on YouTube, Facebook, all those places.
Oh. Any backstory to the video?
The video was made by a really good friend of ours who did an incredible job, named Alex. One of the places we filmed it in was a place called World's End over by Nantasket Beach.
Oh, yes, nice place.
That's like it's a favorite place of mine. And they recently built this crazy mirror,
like a sculpture type thing
that you can walk through. It's kind of like a swirl design. And that's what you see us walking through in the video at a couple points. They just put that up recently, I think. I went there one day and it was there. And I thought, we got to film a video here. But we somehow managed to sneak in, film the video. They were going to close in like half an hour. So all the shots we did in this place we did in less than half an hour. We somehow snuck in, lit off some colored smoke bombs. You know, people were standing there watching like, what is going on? But we somehow did it and got out of there in time without anybody yelling at us.
Because we wanted to do it right at sunset to get that effect on the mirror sculpture.
Yeah.
So obviously they were closing soon, so kind of had to rush through that, but it worked out.
We would have been locked in.
And still doing the video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We definitely would have kept going at that point. Oh, but.
Well, why don't we let the world hear She Slipped Away.
Sweet.
Enjoy.
Who could be glad? His
Welcome back.
And that was new music from Mud Fox Tribe. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
Cole.
Dave.
So what was your inspiration for She Slipped Away?
She Slipped Away started out as just the main chord progression you hear throughout the song. It kind of been brewing for a couple months, a couple weeks maybe. I had an experience with the girl I was seeing at the time that, you know, I was really emotional about, and I left her house really emotional, got home and just sat down and made a demo. You know, the words just came right out, and just the way it sounds now, basically. I honestly, in my opinion, it's probably the best song I think I've written so far, and it's probably because of that. It just flowed right out. You know, there was no forcing it. It was just happened.
Yeah, I remember being at a friend of mine's house, and he was talking to his girlfriend at the time, and another friend of ours was having problems with his girlfriend, and I sat down and, boom, wrote something right away.
Yeah.
And so I had the words, and about 6 months later, they came over and said, well, let's see, put it to music, and they put it to music, and they said, we never knew he had this in him. And, you know, it was performed many times. So, but is that normally how your writing goes? Or do you write differently? Do you, in the car, you're walking down the road, you're putting music on your phone, or is it the lyrics first, or is it all real, or is it some fantasy? I know it was a loaded question, but.
No, that's okay. Pretty much any combination of those that you can think of. There's been times where I've been at work or, you know, just doing whatever and a song's hit and I'm like, oh, gotta get home. You know, as soon as my shift would end, book it home, get it down.
Make a little recording on your phone so you don't forget it.
A lot of times I think I'll have bits and pieces that I end up putting together to make one great song.
Yeah.
But I think the best ones just kind of come out like that when you least expect it.
I think you take a lot of old songs too. That were written a long time ago that just all of a sudden you find the inspiration for it that kind of becomes something new.
Yeah.
But do you normally write and put the music together exactly right on cue? Beep, 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 beep. Do you do it separately and then collaborate after, or do you just write everything and then when you come together, you just...
I feel like we've been working on a lot more together recently than before. Before, in our previous project, The Fours, it was me and the other guitarist and singer, Anthony, that wrote the songs. And at first, it was really 50-50. We'd sit down in the same room and write together. Eventually, we started to be able to, you know, write on our own and still help each other out, you know, if one person needed a line or, you know, a bridge or something like that. We worked really well together within that group to build songs up. Now, that it's more me writing on my own, I kind of keep that in mind. And I think the most important thing now is just taking the time, giving it the time to really develop, since we're not playing these songs live first. They're not going to have that time to develop with the band and be brought to a different place. So it's really more about giving it time to develop on its own before putting it out.
Do you feel it's more your personal stamp on it than a collective stamp?
Probably. Yeah. I think to kind of answer the question you had before, a lot of the times most of the lyrics are personal, but I think I've gotten a lot better at putting a bit of a more surreal spin on the words and maybe cloaking it a little bit and better imagery, you know.
Well, since you're not gigging out a lot right now, will you ever just come up with something and hop in the car and find an open mic and just perform it just to see the reaction of the crowd?
I've been thinking about that. Because there is one.
There's a weekly one, and where is that mic?
It's a tavern at the end of the world. It's run by Natalie Flanagan, my little sweetheart. And she's a great singer, has a great voice, great songs. And that's every Sunday, except if there's a major sporting event or a major catastrophe in the world.
Yeah.
From Sunday from 4 to, it's usually later from 6 to 10. There's usually an artist earlier from 4 to 6. And that's right in Charlestown, right at the Orange Line at Sullivan Station.
Yes.
And then we have one at Walnut Street also on Sundays, Walnut Street Cafe in Lynn. And there's a bunch of others that you can check out.
That's good to keep in mind.
When is your gig at...
Speaking of the tavern at the end of the world, Mud Fox Tribe, Dave and I will be playing an acoustic set on December the 5th at 9 p.m., promoted by WEMF.
Yep. Well, Dave Crespo and crew.
Yes.
We've had him up here.
Good
people.
Well, here's a suggestion for you. Before you go to that gig, go to the open mic, see where your place is, and see how you set up and do your staging before you go.
Yeah, definitely.
This way, before you're getting the big shot,
yeah,
you know, you just wear your masks instead, you know? we're changing our name to Incognito, yes, for the Incognito Fox.
Yeah.
So I hear they have something special for us today.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
This is a song will be on our upcoming album. That's what we're working on right now. That's our main focus is the album. Mostly because we got fed up with looking for other musicians, so we figured we can make an album on our own.
There's always cloning.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
So, but anyway, this song is one from the upcoming album. It's called Sent From Another, and this is the first time this recording has been heard by anyone but us.
World premiere.
Ba-ba-ba.
And away we go.
I'll say the words you long to.
And that was the new world release
of Sent from Another.
Okay. Yes.
By Mud Fox Tribe.
Yes, indeed.
We'll say we knew them when they were here.
Well, it is the world premiere and background.
That's actually a pretty old song. That would have been a Fours song, actually. That would have been on their second Fours album, but it just wasn't finished at the time.
That would have been a Twos album then.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't ask you where you've been doing your recording.
Oh, that's a good question. Some of the songs, like that one, for example, were recorded full band at Mystic Valley Studios here in Medford. Alex Garcia Rivera. See? And the others were recorded like in my bedroom or at Dave's house or pretty much anywhere.
All over the place.
It's been recorded everywhere.
So, I mean, do you guys, you know, does he come over to your house, knock on the door and say, you say, who is it? And he says, it's Dave. And says, Dave's not here.
I wish.
And then he says, I'm Dave. That's barring from Cheech and Chong.
we apologize to the radio audience for your brain damage, but we continue.
Dream Bramage, huh? Yeah.
To answer your question, getting him to my house is like way harder than that. I got to tie him up, drag him over.
I've gone in through the dog door before.
Yeah.
So you guys were originally going to be known as the Clean Foxes?
Yes.
You're going to drag him through the mud?
Originally.
Always dragging through the mud.
Yeah, so the Silver Foxes, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who today do you listen to? And do you enjoy, and would you like to, out of history of music that you have listened to have either perform with or would like to perform with, possibly in the future?
That's a good question. You said the first part of that was who do we listen to?
Yes.
Usually?
It's so all over the place.
Each other.
But
I make a lot of mixtapes, yeah. Honestly. Of, you know, one hit.
True. He made me a couple mixtapes. It was very nice.
Very varied. Sweet.
Mixtapes
or mixed CDs?
CDs, technically. Yeah, playlists. Really, they're playlists these days, but.
We actually did make cassette tapes once, though, with our last project, which was kind of weird for us because, you know, unless you have a really old car, nobody listens to cassette tapes anymore.
We actually get cassette tapes in the station here, and we don't even. I think we might have a functioning cassette deck, but I don't understand that. What, are they going to send to 78s next? You know?
Right? Yeah. It was through Wiener Records, which is the subsidiary of Burger Records.
Yeah. Out in California, so I guess
maybe that's a California thing.
It could be a regional thing, yeah. It could be a regional thing.
I mean, it was very cool. They reached out to us about putting our first Fours album out on cassette, and it was pretty huge. A lot of the bands we do listen to are on Burger Records.
Yeah.
I think Ty Segall is, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
He's a huge one. Mac DeMarco, he isn't on, but he's another one we listen to a lot. Tame Impala.
Fleet Foxes
is a very unknown band. That's great. Huge influence.
Foxygen, who's another Fox band, but they're a big influence. They're starting to get a little more recognition now, but
yeah.
And you said that's a label that you've been dealing with that you're on, or distribution.
They put it out, but they sold it on their website. But I wouldn't really say we were signed to that label. Yeah. It was kind of just a one-off release.
It's like a subsidiary label, so they just they'll put stuff out, and they'll put it in record stores and stuff out in California.
That seems to be a new trend with a lot of record companies now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting out there and it's getting distributed and getting sold. That's all good.
Yeah. We were honored, you know. Yeah. Definitely a huge honor.
Nothing like that with Mudfox Tribe yet, but definitely something we're looking
Have you been able to track with your previous band where your airplay was?
A little bit, yeah. I saw recently we were played on an airplane. People were listening to us on an airplane. I don't know who that was, but... And I guess Sirius XM, one channel on there, they used one of our songs as background music.
Oh, that's good.
I guess. So that's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, it seems like people are still listening to it, so there is a lot of good stuff.
A lot of airplay in Australia.
That's
true.
Yeah.
We had a huge supporter out in Australia.
You know why? You probably sound like a little bit like the Easy Beats.
True.
It doesn't hurt. It's a great song. It doesn't hurt.
Do you know who that person was? You can send him your new music.
Yes. Tony Bates. Yes,
well, Tony, it's on the way. The music's going to be there. This way you'll be heard all over the Outback and otherwise.
Yes.
Which will be, you know.
All the kangaroos will love it.
Well, and everybody who plays the didgeridoo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
True.
See, that's Dave's calling right there.
Dave's a very skilled didgeridoo player.
He's going to put out his own private album of all didgeridoo music.
Yep.
Yes. I'll cover all of our songs.
It's going to be one note at a time.
Yep.
It'll be very long. It'll be like a couple discs, but
yeah. Hey, it'll sell well.
Dave Gambon anthology.
That's my calling.
So, what do you guys enjoy doing besides playing music? And coming on radio shows here at WMFO.
Of course.
In Medford.
Really like photography. It's a huge interest of mine.
What type?
Anything really. Just see a chance for a good picture, dig it. That's about how it works for me.
Yeah, just go to Boston, walk around, take pictures.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, no matter what you'll find.
Like graphic design. Designed the Mudfox Tribe logo and the Fours logo, technically. Mm-hmm. Me and the drummer in that band. I designed it, and he kind of refined it.
If you're looking for a logo, please contact
Cole Tyler Hutton Rod.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah,
yeah.
And what do you enjoy doing when you're not sitting behind a microphone?
Enjoy doing. I work a lot in Cambridge, but I live on the South Shore, so most of my life is commuting back and forth. So that's a fun pastime. Sitting on the train.
Wanderer.
Well, you paid for those taxes for those roads. You get to use them a lot, don't you?
It's exactly, yeah. And those trains that don't run. Yeah. Ever.
Oh, they run very well. Just off track. I mean, off time.
Yeah, without drivers. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. They're considering you're actually on these big pieces of dough and everybody stuffed into it, a lot of baloney going on. Once you're going back down to the South Shore.
Yeah.
I know it's a really bad Subway sandwich.
There it is.
Too much bologna.
What do we have for... we have some other songs?
Yes, we
have... one more on there.
Yes.
Yes.
And do you want to talk about that?
Sure. The last song we have for you is called The Pipes. The Pipes were actually a place that I personally never went to, so I cannot say... I ever went to the Pipes, but I guess it was just a spot where a couple friends of mine used to go and hang out, and these big huge pipes that were just piled up, and they were big enough to go in and do who knows what. We won't say, but anyway, my friend from high school used to always say, "I got a Kiwi date at the Pipes." That was a saying of hers. It always intrigued me. I always loved that line, and when I was writing the song, it just somehow clicked in my head. All these years later, Kiwi Day at the Pipes. It was a perfect line for the song, and it fit, because it's kind of the lyrics are kind of
could be the next Ichiku Park.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. It's a good
way. Yeah, or...
Strawberry Fields.
Or Cherry Hill Park.
Yeah.
Mary Hill.
Blueberry Hill.
Yeah. She's, finding your thrills on Blueberry Hill, huh?
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
I think it can be intriguing because you're throwing something out there that could have more meaning to it, and you're kind of painting a picture for people.
Yeah. Plus, it was a good phrase, and it needs to be out there. But I can't take credit for it. Caitlin Kuhn, if you're listening, that's all you.
And for this song, I'm going to have to give a shout out to our good friend, Sweet D.
Let's go right to the music. Enjoy.
Yeah, you're listening to Mud Fox Tribe. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
Colt.
I'm Dave.
That's great stuff.
Thank you.
Absolutely great stuff.
We were talking off air about perspective of how people write, what perspective, first person, third person observation.
Yeah.
Basically taking a bunch of different things and melding together. Obviously the one about slipping away, as if that becomes hit, other women will be coming up and say, well, Colt wrote that about me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what somebody always happened. Will. Yeah.
But of course, you know, many people are going to take the, you know, kiwi down to the pipes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
kiwi sales will go up.
So will the pipe sales too, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. A question I'd like to ask you, you're obviously a little bit younger than us, older generation here. In your peer group, because you're doing a music that's kind of, you know, maybe retro or reimagined or whatever, how is it perceived with your peer group? I was just curious.
I think for people that know me, they're probably not surprised.
Yeah.
But that kind of leads into the whole thing with the Fours. It was kind of the same thing we were doing in that band.
Yeah.
With that band, we we didn't dress, we kind of dressed 60s-ish,
yeah,
kind of modern 60s look, but people still took that. Every time we'd walk into a place where we were about to play, yeah, we were dressed, we'd hear people shouting, "Hey, it's the Beatles. Hey, look, there goes Ringo." And it kind of got to the point where we felt like people weren't taking it seriously, because I think people took it the wrong way, like we were a tribute band or something like that.
And yeah,
that was never the case. We were only doing what every other band does.
Yeah. You know,
take a little bit from what influences us and making it our own. It was just...
Unfortunately, I think some people take it to lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have any imagination or insight.
Yeah.
So, you know, as musicians, we have to kind of brush that off.
Yeah, but I think there is an audience out there for it, because, like we were saying, the band Foxygen is a huge influence, and they've been getting more well-known.
Yeah, like, we went to see them at Paradise Rock Club, and I mean, we know they weren't that well known, because I've mentioned them to people and nobody knows who they are, but we got there and completely sold out show, and it's all younger kids like us, and it's a very
very encouraging
older style.
Blew our minds. I mean, we were like, this is our crowd right here. These are our people.
So that showed us that the audience is out there. You gotta find them.
Well, you could use this as a re-envision of a re-invasion.
Yeah.
Which, this way you're bringing your influences to the public today.
Yeah.
I was trying to, the reason I was asking, I was wondering, because there is such a focus on modern R&B and hip hop, and people go, well, you know, you're doing something that's different, and you're not touching base with any of those things, and or nobody's approaches that, you know, if you put a, you know, some lines in there, it'd make, you know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's pressures also or observations.
Not really. Because, like I said, I think that the mainstream is very stylized. You know, it has its mass appeal to a lot of people. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are still into the older stuff
and
are looking for hungry for new artists that are kind of recapturing that in a way.
Yeah.
And I think with this band, we're kind of sort of we're reaching back a little bit, but trying to make it more contemporary as well. Like, She Slipped Away was definitely very Tame Impala inspired, very dance music inspired.
We at the station, and I think Aaron knows this, a couple years ago we put up the top 50 plays on the station, and I'm thinking it's going to be Nicki Minaj and, you know, whatever is current, you know, because we're half, more than half this airwaves here are basically student, and they're obviously younger people between 18 and 30. And I was totally shocked. It looked like ZLX's playlist, number one and two, tied at 269 plays apiece, was The Beatles and The Stones. There wasn't one modern artist. And it kind of threw me. And I didn't understand why. But then I realized that a lot of younger people, and this might be a gross generalization, don't seem to have a lot of allegiance to their artist. They don't even buy their records. They download the song.
Yep.
And then maybe a month or two, year later, they're not into that artist anymore. They moved on to other stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have younger people like yourself that have gone back to the golden era, we think, of music, and investigated it. And of course, all the community members also. So I always like to get that perspective, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That kind of, what you were saying before, goes back to, there was a man that we were introduced to back in the Fours days that had been John Lennon's publicist or something like that, and he was a manager and looking for bands a lot like the kind of band we were. He was saying that, you know, he couldn't see people going out to see a band called the Fours, and that it seemed like a novelty act, was what he told us. And I found it funny because on his website the first thing you see was looking for British invasion style bands now. And I think he still has that up there years now, later now, but it's just...
You feel he's kind of trapped by the times because he's now, and what's popular now, what's selling, and the control of the music industry, but basically he still has a foot in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting situation.
When we were putting out our second Fours album, we were working with Big Noise, Al Gomes, who was, you know, does a lot of work with the Beach Boys and people like that. And we were going for like a full album experience. We loved that. Like, you put the album, the album is an experience in itself.
Yes.
Listen to the whole album all the way through. And he was kind of saying, I wouldn't do that. You know, I'd break it up into a couple EPs or something like that, because it's just, like you were just saying, people don't really buy whole albums.
Yeah, short attention spans, you gotta...
But it also depends on the audience you're reaching out to, because I think the audience that would appreciate our music and the stuff that we listen to as well are still listening to whole albums. They're still buying vinyl, you know, they're doing all those things. So I think it really depends on which demographic you're going for.
I think, I don't know, maybe Aaron will agree with me, you're trying to maybe swim against the current, but maybe that could be what makes it work. What do you think, Aaron?
No, I think what they're doing is bringing their influences, which they may have gotten from their parents and listened to, into music, because you notice that the Beatles brought everything that they heard from Fats Domino and Chuck Berry and everybody into their music.
Yeah.
And of course, but they were also music students, so they also brought in, you know, Beethoven and Mozart and everything into their music.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys are just pulling in, maybe not going that far back, but to the beginning of the roots of the music you're playing and bringing that in. And hopefully in 20 or 30 years, people are going to be doing the same thing from you.
That'd be nice. Definitely.
I think it's always hard to, you know, I think once you've put your flag in the ground, you dug your heels in, you know, some people will waver because they can't stand the opinion, or they said, well, we're not this and we're not that, and, you know, you've gotten the comments, but I think you feel inside that you're doing the right thing.
Definitely.
You just keep plowing forward. Because like I said, you know, to every famous band and all the Boston bands we have talked about before, there's been detractors.
Oh, of course.
Oh, well, you know, you did, you did something that, you know, that guy did, or this, or you're ripping this person off, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know.
All music is ripped off.
Yeah, we're all influenced. We're not born in a vacuum.
There's only so many notes in the world, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be, things are going to get repeated.
Yeah.
I mean, someone thought we ripped off Dave Clark 5 once in the forest.
Yeah.
Actually commented on one of our videos.
And we had no idea what they were even talking about, you know, so, you know.
Well, I mean, I think everybody takes an observation. I one thing I've always had a problem with is that some people feel that nobody can do it better than the original person that they thought was the better situation. And here comes some upstarts. I mean, I saw the total upheaval in the mid-70s when we were listening to soft rock. Then all of a sudden, here's the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and the Real Kids kicking in the door, and they go, oh, that's all old stuff. They're not good.
Yeah.
There's always going to be somebody that goes against it, you know?
Definitely.
But, you know, like I said, I think if you feel good about your music, you just keep plowing forward.
I think a good way to put it is we're doing exactly like what Amy Winehouse did with Back to Black.
Yeah.
You know, bringing back an old style and making it modern and making it contemporary. That's, you know, because that album is so, you know, 60s R&B.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Even her look at the time was pretty. She had like the beehive, the Ronettes kind of hairdo. So,
well,
that's
kind of
what we're trying to do.
I have one for you. I was listening to the radio yesterday and listening to NPR. And got a James Brown song, but it's not one that you've probably ever heard. And I just brought it up. It's James Brown singing jazz, which was his biggest influence. And he loved playing jazz more than he liked playing anything else.
Wow.
So why don't we go to that, and then we'll come back.
Sure.
Here on What's
WMFO.
Happening.
WMFO. What's Happening.
Enjoy.
Speak and I hear violins. It's magic. The stars and shake the skies. Rush nestles in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden one, our mystic charms, fantastic things begin when I'm in your. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? It's magic. Do you hear me? Why do I tell myself these things that happen?
Hi, we're back. This is WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford. This is What's Happening. I am Mike.
I'm Aaron.
This is Buddy Love.
And I am Dave.
And that was James Brown, It's Magic, off of his album, That Was Good.
Not the email, but that was a good one.
Yes. Bear with me.
We were...
Soul on Top.
There we go. Uh-huh. Yeah.
From 1970. And I just felt it fit what we were talking about because he went back to something that really drove him and influenced him. And, you know, it wasn't rock and roll.
Yeah.
It was magic.
Yeah. Well, talk about magic. We want to thank you guys for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
You could probably fill us in on the info again if you like.
Sure. We're called Mud Fox Tribe. We have a brand new single and video out now called She Slipped Away, which you can get on iTunes, Bandcamp, Spotify. I think it's on Pandora too. You can find us facebook.com/mudfoxtribe. We have an Instagram as well. No website yet, and we are looking for the rest of the band, keyboardist, drummer, guitarist, people that can sing.
Any vocals, yeah.
And what was the best way to contact you on that?
You can email mudfoxtribe@gmail.com or reach out to us on Facebook or anywhere you can find us, really.
And also, in December, if they want to actually see the band they're joining.
Yes.
And make contact live, not just via media. Where can they find you?
Dave and I will be playing at the Tavern at the End of the World on December 5th at 9 p.m. Yes. So come along.
Come have a drink with us.
And
it'll be splendid.
How many tracks are in the works for this album, upcoming album?
Including the three we heard, there's 12. Should we reveal the album title? Or
maybe say it working title.
Well, we think it'll be known as Red Mill Road by Mutt Foxtrap.
Okay.
And we have no release date or anything planned. We're still just taking our time and...
Sometime possibly in 2018.
Yes, definitely. Probably early.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're interested in your earlier stuff?
Dave and I started out in a band called The Fours, F-O-R-Z. And you can hear that on iTunes and Bandcamp and all those as well. There is some really good stuff on our two albums. If you like Mud Fox Tribe, or if you like, you know, retro sort of music.
If you like the 60s or any of the bands that we've mentioned, Tame Impala, Foxygen, Fleet Fox, any of that.
Check it out. It's there.
You like it.
And are you going to be doing, because I know you're going to, you've got the 12 tracks. Are any of them all, are any of them going to be strictly acoustic?
I was thinking about putting out a couple acoustic versions, like stripped down versions after the fact, but
so you never
most of
know.
Them are acoustic based. Yeah, I can't talk.
You're saying there are going to be 12 tracks, but there may be some bonus tracks in the works.
True.
Acoustically.
Oh yeah.
So you never know what's going to come out. And are you doing this yourself? Are you doing it through a crowdfunding?
We're just doing it ourselves. We pretty much have all the equipment and stuff we need. I mix and master it. Trying to start doing that for other bands too, so if you need some mixing and mastering,
take a listen to our music. Does a good job.
And tell them again where they can find you for that.
Well, my name's Cole Tyler Hottenrott. You can email me at mudfoxtribe@gmail.com or just shoot us a message on the Mud Fox Tribe Facebook. Let me know. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for coming in today. We're really